Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Happy New Year! Woohoo! And thanks for joining me for episode 95 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode at Blog Talk Radio. And this is the first show of the new year, 2015. How cool is that? And I'm also only 5 shows away from doing my 100th show. And since none of you requested anything special for my 100th show, I went ahead and scheduled something special for my 100th show. And that is a special guest that I think you guys are going to love. His name is Ryan Locke. And, that's like 5 shows away. So I'll save telling you about that for later. But I have something special planned for the 100th show, and I've got that in my mind now because 95 seems like a big number. It's close to the 100 mark, which is really just another number. But I'm excited about it. Anyway, I'm moving into the 3 digits, people. And right now, I feel like I'm moving into the 3 digits because I'm in that window that I'm always in when I'm doing my show, and we're about to have another 80-degree day. So I'm sitting here in my short shorts wondering what happened to the winter. We did get a little tiny bit of winter for a few days there, and I was so excited to get to turn my heater on and walk around in my big squishy pants with my big squishy socks. And the weather lady is telling us that it, or weatherman, is it a man or a lady? It's a digital weather device on my computer, is telling me that it's going to rain in a few more days. So hopefully it will be a chilly rain and not a hot, humid rain. I also, in keeping with this totally random, not at all on topic, jag that I'm starting my new year off with here, I have a confession to make. And that is that I am a cat bigot. I did not know this about myself until 2014. This is something I learned about myself and have really, like, come to grips with now. Well, maybe it's not being a bigot. Is lookism a thing? I'm a cat lookist. It doesn't have the same ring to it. I'm very, very shallow, far more shallow than I thought I was. And what made me realize this, I've always had short hair black cats. I just have a thing for them. I don't know why. They find their way into my life. I love them. I'm attracted to them. I know that's very witchy, but that's not the point. I've been like this since I was a little kid. My 2 cats when I was a kid were black short-haired cats, Jingles, who wore a Jingle Bell collar, and Sparky. And then you know I have Otis, my soulmate cat, and his brother Stanley. Well, this year we got this crazy, adorable ragdoll cat. I think Grumpy Cat might be a ragdoll if you need a visual. Only Vesper, who is my cat, is like the very pretty Disney princess version of Grumpy Cat, and she does not look grumpy. She looks adorable! And I find myself breaking the rules for Miss Princess Vesper and, like, giving her preferential treatment. So I just thought I'd out myself about that. Like, that is screwed up. And it has nothing to do with the show. I was just noticing myself doing it this morning and thinking, that ain't cool. I'm thinking about those statistics that say good-looking people get preferential treatment in life, like not just in the dating pool, but they get more promotions at work, they're more likely to get a job that they go and apply for, they get more favors like at the grocery store and stuff. And so we are all lookists. Is that a word? Lookist. I'm going to Google that after this show. And another thing I want to ramble about that actually I think will help us transition into today's topic is I was on my morning walk this morning, and I was looking at all the Christmas trees that people have drug out. Our neighborhood is the kind of neighborhood where if you want to get rid of a couch, you put it on the sidewalk, and eventually the dumpster garbage guys will get around to hauling it off. It might sit there for a couple of months before that happens, but that is what people in my neighborhood do. However, we do have a Christmas tree service in our neighborhood where if you drag your Christmas tree out, they will take it and turn it into wood chips, which I think is awesome. So all these people are dumping there's a car alarm going off. Stop it. Okay, good. They're dumping their Christmas trees on their front lawn, and I'm like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to drag my Christmas tree out. It's only January 6th. I'm not ready. It still has, the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning and I go to make my little cup of tea is I plug the Christmas tree in because I love to see the twinkle lights and stuff. And my son is out of town, and I want to leave it up until he gets back so we can take the ornaments off together. And I was thinking, I guess I'm just a person who has to slowly transition into change, even when it comes of letting go of the Christmas holiday season and moving into the new year. It's like a whole process for me, which makes a lot of sense when you consider this winter module that we just did for the Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year. And I was encouraging people don't make any super radical New Year resolutions. Kind of save that for later when we get into spring transition and the year gets going, and really just kind of feel your way into the new year as opposed to, making a bunch of goals that you're super excited and jacked up on in the beginning, but then you end up kind of hitting a wall when fear starts showing up, or you just realize that you maybe have taken on, you've bitten off more than you can chew, that kind of thing. So this is something, when I started Kick Ass Switch in 2012, I didn't know that I was going at that point to create the Psycho Spiritual Wheel of the Year. I didn't know that I was going to be working with the Wheel of the Year in this particular way, but I just kind of did it naturally, where I was like, I know I want to start this business. I know I want it to be really fun. I know my theme is going to be just personally in my own heart that, I'm here to have fun. I'm here to make money. I'm here to serve. Those are the three things in my mind. So I guess those are my kind of three feeling words as I was easing into that year. And then I didn't launch until March 5th. I spent January and February fleshing out my plan and kind of gearing up toward that. And then I did that again at the beginning of 2013, but then I did it really with this whole idea of the Wheel of the Year in mind, and how that just seems like a more natural way to move into the new year, at least for me, and for whoever this new wheel that I created is working for. It's the same wheel. It's that same pagan, even Wiccan wheel, if you want to look at it that way. But I just kind of superimposed these psycho-spiritual modalities that I work with onto the different points of the wheel that I thought were appropriate. And I'm kind of amazed how, again, transitioning into 2014 when I did the wheel with a group of people, I was like, yes, this fits. This feels good. Feeling my way into the new year. That's right around the time Danielle Laporte came out with the desire map, and she started talking about picking your core desired feelings and your feeling words and all that. And I was thinking that was really just a coincidence that the desire maps were coming out right when I was thinking about that and talking about that in that module. But it actually, they work together really perfectly. And I remember when I was first working with this idea of before you make a plan, before you make a goal, get very, very clear on what you want to feel first. And I remember struggling with looking at my life and the way I live my life and thinking that safety and comfort were of the utmost importance to me in terms of, like, the choices that I had made. And I actually had those down listed when I was, like, working with the feeling words and the core desired feelings, if that's what you want to call them. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that I would prioritize comfort over some of the other things that I wanted to feel. So I took it off and I started thinking more about, like, change and transitioning and how can I push myself to the edge and create change and maybe risk a little bit. Or, like I was talking about on the show 2 weeks ago, my last show was 2 weeks ago, fear and planning. How can I acknowledge, whoa, I have this fear, you know, when I'm planning something new and I'm about to step out of my comfort zone, like, how can I incorporate that into the plan without totally freaking myself out and not stepping outside the comfort zone altogether? So today was themed after that awesome, famous quote by Neil Donald Walsh, "Life begins at the end of your comfort zone." And I think that that's true. Life, like real life, where you feel the living of it, that really begins at the end of your comfort zone. And I just wanted to verify that he, in fact, is the person that said that. I hadn't read Conversations with God in forever when I wanted to title the show this, and I was like, did he really say that? And then I just stumbled on another quote. He did, in fact, say that. But he has another cool quote that I thought was neato, if not super relevant to this show. I don't know. It's called, or it goes, "The deepest secret is that life is not a process of discovery, but a process of creation. You are not discovering yourself, but creating yourself anew. Seek, therefore, not to find out who you are, but seek to determine who you want to be." And I love that. I do agree with that, that we are always in the process of creating ourselves, you know, and you'll hear young people say that they're taking some time to find themselves or discover themselves. And I think, no, no, you have to make it happen. You have to create yourself. And I think that if you're always in the process of creating yourself, you have that sensation of staying alive and keeping alive and kind of riding that edge of your comfort zone. So in a way, those two quotes kind of went well together. I may have forced them a little bit, but it makes sense in my own mind, and I hope you're hanging with me. So what is your comfort zone? It's not always comfortable, is the funny thing about your comfort zone. Your comfort zone is simply anything that you are used to and afraid to change. So, what did I want to say about this? Your comfort zone could be, okay, your comfort zone, sorry, it took me a second to gather my thoughts here. You could be in a very abusive relationship. You might keep picking abusive relationships over and over and over again, and that could be considered your comfort zone. It's not that being abused feels so wonderful. Your comfort zone isn't necessarily pleasant. It's just what you're used to. It's just what you're afraid of changing, or it's just even that you don't know any better. It could be that your comfort zone is being overweight, even though you hate it, even though you constantly put yourself down for it, even though you may be from a family that puts you down for it. That's what you're used to. That is your comfort zone. And anytime you try to step out of your comfort zone, maybe you feel that fear that I was talking about, you know, on the last show about why you need to incorporate fear into your planning. So I hope those examples work for you, because I'm going to move on from now because I see the clock ticking again. As usual, one of you wrote in this survey I sent out, you know, that you always seem like you're rushed, so maybe you can make your shows longer. So maybe I just need to plan them better instead of just flying by the seat of my pants like this. So anyway, I think that your comfort zone, you know, this quote that life begins at the end of your comfort zone, I think that there's, like, different degrees of comfort And that if you want your life to begin, if you want to have that sensation of like really, really living, you can begin. You can step outside your comfort zone and you don't have to go all like woohoo, like crazy. You don't have to go too far. You can just step out a little bit. Dani Laporte, who I was just talking about with her core desired feelings, she often says, absolutely everything is progress. And that's an interesting quote. If you sit with it for a while, I've written it down quite a few times. Absolutely everything is progress. Is it really? And I think that what that's saying is that life, well, I think she actually means it as a form of self-love and to be compassionate with yourself. And but in a bigger scope, I think life is change. And the only constant is change. And that you can't... There's a movie I just watched called Coffee Town that I can't recommend because it wasn't the best movie, but it was about, it had funny moments, but it was about these guys that hang out in this coffee shop all the time, and then they find out that it's going to be sold and turned into something else, and they spend the whole movie trying to prevent that from happening because they can't handle the idea of change. And then the message at the very, very end of the movie is that life is change. Things move on. Absolutely everything is progress. So really, I mean, ultimately, your comfort zone is going to become uncomfortable at some point too, ironically. This is something that I know as a person who's experienced agoraphobia, for example. You know, and that's the fear of leaving your house, to where you stay indoors because you're so afraid of leaving your comfort zone, and your comfort zone is your house, and you think, I'm safe. As long as I'm in my house, I'm safe. Not to mention the fact that someone could break into your house, which don't think doesn't go through your mind when you're agoraphobic, because it does. But your mind starts turning in on itself. And you start to develop a lot of different weird neuroses. Maybe you name your volleyball Wilson and start having long, heartfelt conversations with it. Another random movie reference. But when you think about that, even if you don't have agoraphobia, if you just think about staying in your comfort zone, is boredom comfortable? I feel like boredom is another way. I just think instinctually life just edges us out. It edges us out. It edges us out and forces us to constantly change and grow. And if we're not willing to step outside our comfort zone, it's going to throw us a curveball that actually takes us out of our comfort zone. And maybe in that way, absolutely everything is progress. It could just be your mind, like I said, starts turning in on itself, or your boredom becomes so uncomfortable that it literally takes you out of your comfort zone, which I think is a very interesting thought. Another interesting thought is these different zones of comfort. And like I was saying, you don't have to go from like 0 to 60 and stepping outside your comfort zone. So you have your comfort zone, and that is what you're used to. Whether it's good or bad, pleasant or unpleasant, it's what you know, it's what you're used to, it's what happens to you day in, day out. That could be a really boring office job that is soul-crushing that you hate, but it's your comfort zone. It could be, you know, a 40-minute commute on your way to work that you hate, but that's your comfort zone. You've been doing it for 15 years, and you're used to it. I think that there is something in between that and then just quitting that job altogether and, you know, with no financial safety net in place and being like, I'm going to start a food truck, or I'm going to start some random business, or I'm going to move to Nepal. That's like going from 0 to 60. That's like way outside your comfort zone. And I think some people can do that. You hear stories about all that all the time. But I think there's something else that's kind of more like a growth zone. And it's the place of learning where it's like, fine, you have that soul-crushing job that you hate, or you have that 40-minute commute that you hate to get to the soul-crushing job, and you want to create change. You want to create change that's outside your comfort zone, but you're not willing to go 0 to 60. So maybe you just go 25. maybe you step outside your comfort zone a little bit and you start saving your money to buy that food truck and you get the food truck, or you put that whole business together and you run the food truck on the weekends. And I don't know why I have a food truck in my head, but for some reason I do today. They're very popular here in Los Angeles. But you step outside your comfort zone just enough to where you're growing and you're learning and you're living your life. And then you can kind of inch your way out of your comfort zone that way by taking baby steps. And I think that the zone of comfort is perfectly acceptable and reasonable. I think that despite all of my crazy, wild dreams and that I'm always dreaming big, impossible dreams, the reality of who I am is I'm more of a person that hangs out in that growth zone, and then I kind of keep... I don't normally move from 0 to 60. I sort of like inch my way toward what I want, but I'm always moving forward. Beyond that, I think we have something. If you're going to go 0 to 60, what would 60 be? And that would be kind of like the zone of terror for most of us. It's the fear of the unknown. But you also might think of it as the magic zone, you know, because that's the place where really radical change happens. That's when you're taking a running leap off the edge and going into the own. And you're, in doing that, you know, stepping into the zone of terror or the magic zone, which is a much nicer way of saying it. It really depends on your perspective and how far you're willing to lean forward. What's interesting about that is whether you're doing that or you're just hanging out in your growth zone and making that steady progress, you're still expanding your comfort zone. And I think that's so cool. You can just lean in. You can just feel your way into your new year. You can, you know, change your habits slowly, one habit at a time, and you don't have to totally freak yourself out. And if stepping outside of your comfort zone does involve freaking yourself out, I think that you can reframe it in a way to where you can think of it less as the zone of terror and more like the magic zone. And I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this before because, you know, I am a Tony Robbins nut job. I love him. He's awesome. Nut job. I don't feel like that should ever be a part of anyone's vocabulary. I hereby strike nut job from my vocabulary. I'm a Tony Robbins fan. I love him. And he tells this story about Bruce Springsteen. Apparently he worked with Bruce Springsteen, or had a conversation at least with him at some point. And they were talking about stage fright. You know, that adrenaline rush that all performers feel, most performers, if they're alive, feel when they step out on stage. And I think that adrenaline rush or that stage fright feeling is something that we get when we try to go from our comfort zone to the magic zone. You know, it's very, very scary. And he was asking him, how do you cope with that? And Bruce Springsteen, he was saying that, and I'm totally paraphrasing badly because I haven't read this in a long time, but he was saying, yeah, he gets the butterflies on his stomach, his palms sweat, his heart races, he feels all of that. But instead of saying, I'm afraid, I have stage fright, he says, I'm excited. I feel excited. I can't wait to get on the stage. And in that little reframing, it allows him to step outside his comfort zone and get onto that stage again and play a rockin' show, and to keep expanding his comfort zone to the point where I'm pretty sure by now Bruce Springsteen is perfectly okay stepping out on a stage. And if he feels those butterflies, he just sees it as excitement. Neil Donald Walsh, who we're stealing this quote from today on Life Begins at the End of Your Comfort Zone, he talks about how he's learned to recognize when he gets that scary feeling when he's about to step outside his comfort zone. And in a similar way, how he has learned to be comfortable feeling uncomfortable, and that he actually gets excited when he feels that feeling. It's like, ooh, the living is about to begin. Oh, and he gets excited. He's like, ooh, there's that feeling again. And that lets him know he's growing. He's learning. He's changing. He's living his life. So just to recap, you know, when you get that feeling, you have three choices. You can go rushing back to your comfort zone. you can hang out kind of at that point of discomfort and just step out a little bit, maybe go 25 miles per hour so that you can grow and learn and expand your comfort zone so that you can step out again sooner rather than later. Or you can just take a flying leap off the edge of the discomfort zone into the unknown, into the zone of terror, the magic zone. And we all have different comfort zones. You know, if you think of someone like Angelina Jolie versus a Woody Allen, two people I'm pretty sure we all know. Woody Allen is a notorious hypochondriac. He always thinks he's dying of something. I think he missed accepting his own Oscar, it may have been. It was some fancy schmancy Hollywood award because he didn't want to get on an airplane. He was too afraid to fly. He's managed to work around that and have, you know, a dazzling career despite that. But he's a very fearful person, and his comfort zone limits him to some degree. I think it's interesting the way he's worked his hypochondria into, like, all of his movies. It's become its own character. But then you have someone like Angelina Jolie, who when she started her career, she was the wild, wild bad girl. And, you know, before she got really famous, she had a drug problem, or she was living on the edge in the dark shadows of life. And she got into the spotlight, and she started just pushing people's buttons and doing really extreme things. She talked about having a Velcro wall so her and Billy Bob could wrap themselves in Velcro and throw themselves against the wall, and she was walking around with a vial of blood around her neck. And then she kind of grew up and changed. She started adopting these kids, which is pretty radical for most of us, you know, kids from all around the world. She got her pilot's license and started flying her own airplanes. She had that very experimental surgery to prevent a cancer that she does not have yet, but one day might get. She goes into the heart of war-torn countries to work in a very hands-on way with refugees. She's directing movies now, and she seems to thrive on novelty and risk. You know, whether it's being the bad girl or the good girl, she always seems to kind of need to live on the edge and constantly push out her comfort zone. Like once she masters something, she has to move on to the next in order to feel that rush of being alive again. And I mean, I think it's all good. You know, Woody Allen has figured out how to be successful. Angelina Jolie has figured out how to be successful. And then everybody in between. I guess that's a small in between. Those are people at the top of their game, but I wanted to pick people that we all know. My point is that you have a set point of what your comfort zone is, and it's probably a mix of genetics, your soul's purpose, what you came here to do, and whatever conditioning that you experienced as a kid. But I believe that in order to keep your life joyful and engaging and exciting and feel like you're really living, no matter what your set point is, you can, and maybe you even should, I don't want to shit on you, but maybe you should consider constantly just stepping outside your comfort zone to keep that feeling alive. And that could be as simple as going out to dinner or a movie alone. Or it might be hiking the Pacific Coast Trail all alone like Cheryl Strayed did. I just finished her book Wild at the end of last year, and that is going to be my first Book Nerd Weekly post. And I'm really excited about that. That was so good. Oh, I just ran out of time. 90 seconds. Let me just say, my son might be the opposite of a Cheryl Strayed. You might know that he has autism, and people with autism, they have an extreme need for order, and they need that in order to feel comfort. They create this like comfort zone of stuff all around them. And for my son, it's golf balls. And if we don't watch him, he will shove so many golf balls in his pockets that they're like bulging out to the sides like huge giant saddlebags, to where he has to walk or more like waddle around with his legs like held super far apart to keep his pants from falling down. And he does this to make himself feel comfortable. So we have a limit. He's only allowed to keep two golf balls in his pocket. And that kind of is like his coping strategy for making his way into the world. So maybe if you're an empath and you have problems with big crowds and or you just are a person who likes to spend copious amounts of time at home, maybe your witchy version of Tanner's golf balls is to carry a special crystal out into the world with you so you can kind of take your comfort zone with you while you're stepping out of your comfort zone at the same time. Or maybe you have to create a specially designed mojo bag just for the occasion. But if it helps you step out of your comfort zone, maybe it's worth it, kind of like Dumbo's feather, you know. Anyway, so this is my show on expanding your comfort zone. The entire theme for January is going to be transitioning and easing our way into the new year. So I will be back talking at you next week about more ways to transition into the new year. And until then, I'm sending you much love. Peace.